the friends that kind of invite you to do things you don't want to do, but you probably need to do? You guys have any of those friends? Let's be honest. We all got one of them. Don't point to them right now. We all got one of those friends that asks us, and they badger us to join them, right? They're unrelentingly inviting us to do something we don't really want to do, but we probably need to do. And so we work towards giving in, right? Well, I had a friend of mine last spring who invited me to go on a run, okay? And it wasn't just any run. It was the Green 6.2-mile run. And I just want to be completely transparent with you. I don't do 6 miles, okay? I do 2 miles, 2.5, just to go a little bit further than what the Army asked me to do. So I'm ready, okay? Now, occasionally, my long run looks like a 3.1, 3.2, occasionally a 3.5, but never a 6.2, okay? And so my friend, he calls me about a month, maybe a month and a half out, and he calls me and he says, hey, Chaplain, I want you to come and I want you to run this race with me. It's a 6.2 mile. That was my first cue. I didn't want to run that race. However, he called me and he says, well, I want you to consider it. And I was like, okay, whatever. I ignored him for about a month. Then he texts me. This is one of these kind of friends. I know you got these kind of friends. And he texts me and he says, Chaplain, we're about a month out. Have you signed up yet? Oh, no, I will. Don't worry. Thank you for the reminder. Okay. Not intending to sign up at all. I know I'm your pastor. I shouldn't do those things. So anyway, about 2 weeks out, he texts me again. He says, Chaplain, have you signed up for this race? Because, well, you know, it's going to get more expensive after this week. And, you know, money talks to guys, especially cheap guys like me. And I was like, yeah, maybe I should consider this. And so it took me another week. I ignored him for another week. And I signed up just before the last discount, before the race. And I signed up for the race. And you're not going to believe this. I showed up. I showed up for the race. It was a beautiful May morning, a little sticky, not too bad. You know, pretty much good running weather. And, of course, all these races don't start, like, at 10. They start at 5, you know. And then, you know, they tell you to get there at 5, and then it's going to start at 7. And they start at 7. And if you're not there on time, they start anyway, you know. And anyway, so I ended up showing up, doing the race. And you know how, you know, when you finish the race, after you finish, I don't know if you've ever run. I mean, even if you ran a mile and you finished, way to go, you know. But it feels good, right? That you actually accomplished something, you know, and that you actually did something, even though you didn't really want to do it. But this friend who so persistently invites you to do it, and you can't find a way to tell him no, you do it anyway, right? And then somehow down the line, you find joy in it. What's that about? It's because they give you things like this at the end. You know, you finish the race, and they got people out there handing them out like candy, you know? They don't care what time you got. You're going to get one of these, you know? And by the way, it wasn't until later I found out I could have just done a mile and I can get one of these on the internet, you know? But I'm glad I didn't know that in advance. But yeah, they're handing these things out like candy, man. And you know, you put them on and then, you know, my friend, you know, he was so happy I came and joined him. He said, hey, Chaplain, let me treat you to breakfast. And so we went to, I think it was Denny's or one of those places. And of course, when people treat you, you get everything on the menu, right? I want orange juice, Coke, coffee. I want the most expensive thing on the menu, all those kind of, because you made me do this, right? Yeah, payback, you know. Anyway, I say that to say this, that, you know, in this world, there's some times where, you know, you have people in your life that are passionate about stuff, right? This guy is a runner. I mean, he does these things all the time, and he's passionate about it. He loves to do it. He likes to invite other people to do it with him, you know? And I want to share with you a story this morning that we find in the book of Ephesus. Have you guys ever heard of Paul? Yeah. Big person in the Bible. Well, Paul, he had a church, and I don't know if you know Paul, but Paul was a missionary. Jesus Christ personally revealed himself to him, and he was converted, decided to give in anyway to the Christian faith, and then he was called to be a missionary, okay, meaning he left a place to go to a place to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And he happened to be a Roman citizen, so he felt called to basically evangelize all the Roman Empire, you know. And so, but he found himself in this church called Ephesus, a small community church, maybe like us. And by the way, church is anybody who decides to get up on Sunday morning and show up and sit in a pew, right? Right? I mean, we got here, right? We're the church, right? So Paul was talking to people just like you and me. And Paul's passionate about sharing the gospel. And he's so passionate that he wants to invite the people in Ephesus to join him in this passion. But I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I'm probably a lot like them. I'm talking about the people in Ephesus. I don't know about you, but I get real complacent with my faith. I like it the way I like it. I don't want to have to go the extra mile. Don't invite me into it. I'm perfectly happy with where I am with my relationship with Jesus Christ. I showed up this morning. Get over it, Pastor. Right? I get there sometimes. And it's during a season like right now, we're coming out of Christmas and into this new year, that maybe we need to be challenged a little bit and get out of our complacency. And here's what I want you to do. When you have someone that has so much passion to do something, and they're so passionate about it that they want to invite you into it, Maybe we should listen to that passion for that church in Ephesus. So let's go to Ephesians chapter. I'm going to start in chapter 2, okay? And I'm going to just ask you to open up your biblical text in front of you, or what if you brought one, man, you're super Christian, way to go. But chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. I want you to first see what it's all about. I mean, this is what is driving St. Paul. This is more important, you know, when like I was talking about my friend would rather run than do anything else he does. It's that important. And for Paul, sharing the gospel with the people in Ephesus was more important than anything in the world to him, and this is why. Let's start in verse 18. It says, "For through him, through Jesus, we both have access in one spirit to the Father." So through Jesus, you and I have access to the Father. We have access to him. There was a time when we did not have access to him. But because of Jesus and him coming into the world, he gave us access to him. We can be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So then, you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Now listen, so then you are no longer strangers or aliens. See, Paul knew what it was to be an alien and foreigner, stranger. In those days, remember, Paul was ministering to a community that was either a Roman citizen or not a Roman citizen. If you're a Roman citizen, you had certain privileges and rights that came with being a Roman citizen, and Paul understood that because he was a Roman citizen. Not everybody that's Jewish that had a Jewish background, as Paul did, happened to be a Roman citizen as well. He did. He understood what it was like to have the privileges of not being a foreigner to a foreign land, but to be a citizen of the household of God. Okay? Now, I'm going to share this illustration with you, and I have permission from my brother-in-law to share this. My brother-in-law came here to the United States illegally. And it's a tough story, and there's a reason why he came, and all of a sudden I don't have time to go into all that. But I got to tell you something. My brother-in-law, when he heard President Obama say there's a chance to be a citizen of this, be a card-carrying American. You know what my brother-in-law experienced? Just for a little bit of joy. There was a little bit of hope. And see, you and I don't really get that because we benefit from all the benefits that we get because we're card-carrying Americans, right? Including paying taxes, right? All the fun things we get to do, right? But I say that to say this, that Paul is trying to illustrate to us how much joy you and I should have because we have access to the Father. We are no longer aliens or foreigners because of our sin, but because of Christ, we have become part of the household of God. which when you're part of my household, guess what you are? Family. Amen? When you're a part of my household, when you come and eat at my house, guess what you get to be called? Family. You know what is Paul so excited about? You know what's most important? You know what his cause is? To add more people to the family at whatever it costs him. To add more people to the household of God, no matter what it costs him. That's what is so Paul is so passionate about, and that's what he wants to invite the people of Ephesus in. I believe that's what he wants to invite us into this morning, to be a part of God's plan to invite more people to be a part of our family. And the foundation of that family is Jesus Christ. Okay? So let's go to verse 3. For this reason, so basically Paul's saying, here's my cause. This is why I do what I do. This is why I sacrifice what I sacrifice. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ, a slave for Christ. I've made myself a slave for Christ. I no longer belong to myself, but I belong to my Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever is important to him is important to me. How about you? How about you? Paul says, I'm a servant. I'm a prisoner of Christ. Jesus, on behalf of the Gentiles, I'm doing it for them. I'm doing it for those who see themselves as alien and foreigners. You got to remember, in his time, if you were not Jew, you were not in. If you were not Jew, you were not in. Until Jesus came. I'm not Jew, but I'm in. Hallelujah. You hear what I'm saying? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I'm in. And so it says, he says, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. God gave me his grace. God gave me his undeserved love for you. For you. God has given us, Gloria Dei Lutheran Church, the grace of God for others. To invite them in to our family. Verse 3. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which is not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as has been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So this mystery that Christ and access to God is for everyone has been revealed to St. Paul by the Holy Spirit. God spoke this message to him and sent him into the world, into the Roman world as he knew it, to the place called Ephesus to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. This mystery, verse 6, this mystery is what is that the Gentiles... Again, Gentiles, people who do not have a right to call God Father, the Gentiles, are fellow heirs. They're fellow heirs. You know what an heir is? An heir is someone who gets a piece of the inheritance. See, the Gentiles, the ones who were outcasts, are now in, and they're fellow heirs. What is Jesus's is ours through Christ. What belongs to Jesus belongs to us because we're heirs. We're fellow heirs with Christ. Okay? Now, see, what I have at my house belongs to my kids. One day, not today, but one day, everything I have will belong to my kids because they're my heir. You are an heir. And remember, it's not something you deserve or you got because you did something right. It's yours because of what Jesus Christ did right for you and makes you a fellow heir. Okay? So he says, we're fellow heirs, members of the same body. We're all family. I can call you sister. You can call me brother in Christ. We're all part of one body in Christ. And then it says, and partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. We're partakers. We receive from Jesus, from this grace that's in the gospel message. And what's the gospel? Let me remind you what the gospel is, just in case you forgot. One, it's the forgiveness of sins. The gospel says that you have been released from the guilt of your sin. You have been proclaimed not guilty before God. And on your dying day, when God calls you to heaven, you won't have to worry. You won't have to ask yourself, did I do enough? Because you're partakers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know that your forgiveness is not founded in you, but is given to you through Christ. Forgiveness of sins. Number two, the gospel says that you have eternal life. That even though you die, you shall live. When you see Jesus, because what did Jesus do? He rose from the dead, right? He was the first to rise from the dead. So as Jesus rose from the dead, so shall you and I. And so we grieve with hope here on earth. And then last, the gospel says that guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not a month, maybe not a year from now, but the word, the gospel is Jesus is coming back. And one day, I don't even have any idea what's going to look like. All I know is I'm going to have a room and I'm going to a banquet. That's all I know. One day in the future. But here's what I really know. I will be with Jesus forever. That's the gospel. You are partakers of that. If you're in Christ, if you know who Jesus, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are partakers of that. So Paul, his most important thing, the most important thing what I'm going to do is tell people that. Especially people who think they're not that. That was his whole mission in life. Okay? Okay, verse 7. For this gospel that I just talked about, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints. So it's always good to, when you're feeling so high on Jesus, to have a little bit of humility, right? Though I'm the very least of all the holy ones. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you realize how rich you are in Christ? Even though you may feel poor in the pocket, especially after Christmas, you're rich in Christ. You are not poor. Don't live as if you're poor. Be generous with the gospel. And then he goes on, and to bring to light, epiphany, for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden of ages in God, who created all things, so that through the... don't miss this. That through the church, not your pastors, not your paid staff only, but through the church, through the people who find themselves in church gathering around the grace of Jesus Christ. It says, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom, light, wisdom, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, who are the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places? It's basically everybody under earth or under heaven, which is earth, right? So it's for everyone. That this plan of God, this mystery, is for everyone to come and be a part of God's family. Verse 11. This was according to an eternal purpose, not a purpose that only is for today, but one that lasts forever. An eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has shown us his purpose. Do you know the one reason why Jesus came for us is to make us family? That's the only reason why he came. Because God knew that he was going to have to send his wrath on us, which means his holy anger on us, because we deserve it, because we're sinners, and we deserve God's wrath. But God, in his mercy, through the King, Jesus, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we don't have to suffer the penalty of our sin, but in turn, we are pronounced not guilty. And so we can have a clean conscience in this world. Amen? And so he goes, this was according to the eternal purpose that was made realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, to make us family, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Through, we're holding on to Jesus. There's nothing else to hold on to in this world. And it's by holding on to the truth and the light and the wisdom of God in Christ that we can be bold and we can be confident of the forgiveness of sins that is ours, of our eternal place in heaven, and be confident in knowing that he's coming and he's returning and he's going to take us all home to be one family with him forever. That's what it's all about. Paul gave his life for that. The question we have to ask ourselves today is, will we give our life for that? How important is it for us to believe and to know that it is our purpose as the church here on earth to invite people to meet Jesus? Do you believe when you invite people to church that you're inviting people to meet Jesus? Do you believe that? Because it's with faith in that that we are bold and confident enough to share that, to invite someone to come and be a part of our family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what it's all about. And here's what I want. I want to give you a tool. Are you ready? Happy New Year, by the way. I want to give you a tool. Let me catch my notes up here. I want to give you a tool. I want to give you a few cues to help you stand bold and confident in your faith and invite other people to join us. And here's what I want to make sure you understand. Don't invite people to join us because we got to pay our bills. Do not do that. Do not let that be your motive. Do not invite people because it's going to make you feel better. Don't do that. Invite people because you believe in faith, the eternal purpose that we have here on earth, and that's to enlarge the family of God. Do it for that reason. And then I want to ask you, when you hear these three cues, I want to ask you, you might want to write these down, by the way. If you hear these three cues, I want to ask you to invite somebody to come to Glory Day. You ready for the first one? Things are not going well for me right now. When you hear somebody say, you know what, you know, things just aren't going well for me right now. And it could be for whatever reason. And you can hear yourself saying, you know, I hear you saying, you know, things aren't going well right now for you right now. You know, maybe now's a good time for me. I want to invite you to come and join my family at Glory Day. Maybe we can figure this out together. I don't know. That's the way it might work for me. Another cue I want you to have. I'm not prepared for fill in the blank. I'm not prepared for my mother's death. I'm not prepared to be a mother. I'm not prepared, fill in the blank, to be a father. When you hear those words, I'm not prepared to get married. You tell them, you know what? Have you ever thought about joining me for church at Glory Day? And maybe we can help you. Come be a part of our family called Glory Day. Now here's the last one, and it's the most easy one. Are you ready? I'm not from here. I'm not from here. This is the easy one, all right? I'm not from here. When you hear I'm not from here, what should you say? You should come join my church on Sunday. Right? And I say that because I've really done it. The other day I was doing some work, and you know, everybody thinks the chaplains know a lot about what they do. We don't know a whole lot, especially when it comes to Army stuff. So anyway, I'm going, I'm at Ellington, I'm having this soldier help me out because I'm sorely in an area where I just don't know anything about this particular subject. So I ask him to help me, and he's helping me. In the course of the conversation, he goes, well, you know, I'm kind of new to the area. I'm not from here. And I said, guess what? We're having a family Christmas festival at our church. You are invited. He didn't come. It's okay. It's okay. But we invited him. Amen? Amen. And so my prayer for you this new year is maybe, I don't know what's on your list of things you want to start, but I want to encourage you, think about starting inviting people to be a part of our family called Gloria Day. Amen?